Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, May 4th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a very nice 54 degrees and partly sunny here for the moment in upstate New York. But I am just looking at the weather map, and it looks like it is just off to the west a bit. This massive, massive blob that is going to give us rain for the next four or more days, according to AccuWeather. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show AI, Google, Predictive Medicine, Digitize, Analyze, and Fake You. And if you remember, we looked a lot at Google stories yesterday and all the different new invasive ways that Google going to get in your life, be able to monitor you, bag and tag 24/7. We looked at Google wanting your poop as a part of their healthcare rollout tests that they want to do on 10,000 individuals, part of a $100 million project in precision medicine. They're looking for volunteers. Don't step right up for that one, Johnny. But we ended the show looking at some new technologies, which really are old technologies. We had originally read about them back in 1999 when Georgie Bush, I think Bush was in. Was he? Bush didn't get in until 2000s. I don't know. I think it was 88. Whenever. It was sometime between Bill Clinton. Well, George Bush 1, Bill Clinton, and George Bush 2. Somewhere in there, they had already talked about having the capabilities of mimicking somebody's voice electronically to make it sound convincing to others that it was them. And they thought it was really funny, making a general say all kinds of crazy things up to that general about overthrowing this, that, and the other thing. I mean, it was nuts that they were already doing that in 99. Well, guess what, guys? Ding, it's all over now. Not only can they do voice, but they can do video, and they can make the video say things in your voice and move its mouth. So it looks like it's the video participant that's talking. It brings up a lot of questions since recorded statements that are considered legal in the court of law and video footage is considered evidence in a crime. I would have to think that unless they're going to put some protections on this technology, now that, you know, we got electronic everything all over, we have camera footage everywhere. I mean, it wouldn't be too difficult, I wouldn't imagine, to manufacture some fake evidence against some people that you want to get politically or otherwise out of the way. I don't think this train is going to stop. It's going to get even easier and easier to replicate things such as, I don't know, DNA swabs and fingerprints. I mean, they could probably already do that, plant that stuff around. But, hey, why not make some sort of fingerprint cup? And I think they already have that, don't they? Where you can put somebody else's fingerprints on and then go touch stuff. I mean, it really frightens me when I start looking at technologies, and we've seen so many cases over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years of mysterious people disappearing or deaths or crimes or whatever, and it always seems to have some weird little rabbit hole political or I don't even know what you want to call it, some sort of bent to it, where this person had been a thorn in somebody's side or in some sort of organization's side that doesn't want to be exposed. You know, of course, now it is us against the establishment. It's not just one little corner here or there that people are speaking out against. Now it's everything. You know, the whole thing's going off the rails now. And these are the same people that are being given this technology where they could make it do say anything, and they are going for broke by working on getting neural dust that they can implant right in your muscles or be able to brain scan you from a distance. You know, it's frightening. If we even just fast forward 5 years, I mean 10, if you can even stomach it, to think about where it's going to be. You do not want to be an enemy of the state. They do not want you speaking out against anything. They want you to comply and say, yes, sir, and do what you're told. Shut up, take your pill, put on your little brain zapper to chill out for a while, be healthy, and, you know, we'll hook you up with a few good pharmaceutical companies who just want to zip and zap you a little bit, maybe give you a few doses of this and that to see what's going to happen. And, hey, Johnny, it won't hurt. And you know what? That's how you're going to get your next paycheck. That's how we're going to sponsor you. You're going to have sponsorships. I don't know. Maybe we'll all have to wear patches as to what pharmaceutical company is sponsoring your universal basic income payment. And then you will just have to be a little pincushion. And they'll have to do a few little images. I mean, really, how else are they going to pay for all this? It's not like we have an unlimited budget. Our deficit is already at trillions, and sure, they could just keep printing money, but at some point, guys, you know, the world is so in debt right now, there's not anybody, any country that'll be able to pay any of this back. My friend the other day was saying, hey, you know, if they were smart, they'd just wipe it all out and start all over again, and sure, I think that's probably what they are going to do at some point. You know, economic collapse that they've been talking about forever. It's going to be that simple. Bloop. All right. Everybody's debt is gone. But guess what? We got a new system. And it's called qubits. No more dollars. It's called qubits. We're all going to have a few qubits. But these qubits, I don't know what's going to secure them. Maybe human capital. They won't be endless. And they'll be able to bag tag and track everyone everywhere they go. Just by you having to purchase something, it'll use your facial recognition or bio statistics to open a door. And they'll be able to bag tag and track you, just like we were listening or reading about in that one story about the health insurance panopticon. How you're going to need your fingerprint even to get snacks out of the snack machine. I mean, what? It's just unbelievable. Speaking about, you guys want to hear something. I have a whole path I'm planning on going down today. My brain is having trouble getting moving. So, well, I ran across a story yesterday that I really started to think about a while ago. But now all of my greatest fears have been proven to be true over the holidays. Last weekend, 2 weekends ago, we had a big family thing. My family's pretty small, but it was a big deal. My sister came into town for the first time for 30 years, first time in 30 years for Easter. And my dad's birthday was that week, and the kids were all on vacation, so it was a big deal. And we all went down to my parents' house, and it was three generations in this little tiny house for a whole week. So, yeah, it wasn't any vacation, trust me. But my mom insisted to be traditional. She was going to make a ham. And I got to tell you, I haven't had ham in years now. One of the reasons why I haven't had ham is because just out of the blue, one day it started to make me violently ill every time I ate it. And it's not that, like, that's a weird thing, though. I mean, I've had things like that over the years with the tomatoes, you know. Back in the 90s, I started eating tomatoes, and I ended up with hives head to toe. Of course, we find out years and years later, we find out in our research on the show that they had released that flavor saver tomato, that first genetically modified tomato to market, but didn't tell anyone, wink, back in the 90s. Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that that's what my body freaked out about, because I had never had issues with tomatoes before or after they pulled them from the market. But, you know, we also read, back about a year and a half ago, we did a whole series of stories on cloning and the FDA and George Bush and the cows and whatever in this country and getting rid of meat labeling laws. You know, now we don't even have to do what country of origin for meat anymore. We got sued by the World Trade Organization last year. And, they pulled the labeling law. Congress bent. I said, all right, we don't need to know where our meat comes from. Hey, we're going to have World Trade Agreements anyway. And they did. So we don't even have labeling now saying where our meat comes from. And that is by design, people. But that was an international organization that came into the United States and pointed a finger at one of our laws to keep our people safe and said, hey, Mexico and Canada don't want you labeling where the meat comes from because your consumers are going to give preference to U.S. beef and they're losing sales. And that is unfair there, United States. So do something about it. And they did. Congress turned around and repealed the law that actually, I think it was called the COOL Act or something like that. It was a law that required country of labeling. Well, they pulled it. So it's gone. You'll never know. But in parts of those investigations, we started digging into cloning. We find out that in 2008, the FDA approved cloned meat and said, hey, you know, just like GMO, cow is a cow is a cow, tomato is a tomato is a tomato, it doesn't matter. We're not really doing anything. We're just flipping a few little switches in an organism and reproducing it again. Like the clone, they're just basically reproducing it from the same cells over and over. So according to the FDA, there is nothing technically different about cloned meat. So in that case, well, you know, we don't want to alarm anyone. So you don't have to put a label on it. You know, no little robot thingies on it to say we are clones. Don't do that. It'll scare them away. So no labels. And it is a biological equivalent. So don't worry about it. We don't have to do any future testing either. And I know it's really expensive there. Beef manufacturers who are big friends, butt patting, elbow rubbing, ranch attending friends of Bushies. Back in those days, protect the cattle farmer. We know that there was mad cow floating around back in those days, too. And we stopped putting all that bad neurological tissue into the feed. But as long as the cow hasn't fallen to the ground and you slaughter him beforehand, you don't have to tell anybody. Shh. So, yeah, wink, mad cow is all gone. Just disappeared out of the blue. It didn't, guys. It really didn't. They just kill them easier, faster now. They don't let them fall down yet, so they don't have to tell anyone. And then we found out, actually, even during those shows, I was so horrified during that whole string of shows. I'm sure you can find them. They were probably about a year ago, year and a half ago, but they're all on YouTube. We found out that some of the cattle companies were caught. When there was a cancerous cow, they would swap the head of the cancerous cow out with a healthy head. So they wouldn't know that there was cancerous meat entering the food chain either. And then to add insult to injury, do I or do I not see a story out of Heather Callahan's, what is on this page? Out of Heather Callahan's publication, Natural Blaze, that they have now found in Texas, some woman took samples of dog food, canned dog food, to a laboratory to have them tested. I'm sure she was a good doggy mommy. Maybe her doggy was seeming kind of sick when he ate that food. I mean, I'm telling you, last year, I lost two of my fuzzy little friends. God rest their little soulsies. They were both my little sweeties. I love my little kitty cats. And Simon and I had 18 years. And he was the healthiest, most perfect little cat you'd ever seen. He always kept himself slim and trim. Cat never had any issues ever in his whole entire life. He was just a little kitty that could. And Girly, she was probably 12, 13. They were little buddies. But they both died last year. And they both started out with some weird issues. Like almost like a Girly actually seemed like she had been exposed to some sort of neurological something. She started getting these weird, like, seizures and things. And then she started wasting away, which is what made me think of Mancow. And Simon had the same sort of thing in the beginning, but then he got some other issue. And I don't know, guys, and it was almost like maybe his liver and his kidney started to go. And I started to really wonder if it wasn't something in the cat food. I mean, what are the chances that not one, but two cats at the same time in the same year start getting weird issues? And I mean, they weren't sickly cats or anything. And they weren't exposed to anything. The cats don't go outside. So it's not like, you know, they got into something or caught something from some other animal. And I was pretty certain that something had maybe passed through the food chain. And I looked, there were no recalls or anything. And, you know, the other cats seem to be okay now. So I don't know. But I saw the story from May 2nd out of Heather Callahan's publication. This one is by John Rappaport. Euthanasia drug found in dog food. Did you guys see this? And it was a woman in Texas who must have had some sort of suspicion or something that there was something wrong with food, because why else would you be taking samples to a laboratory to have them tested? And the lab came back to say that they found phenobarbital, which, among other things, is used as a euthanasia drug for pets, in the dog food. And the company, of course, is like, oh, we don't know how that ended up in there. I'm sure the owner is like, what the hell? Why is there phenobarbital? Well, listen to this. I did not know this. Back from the 1990s, I guess, this was pretty common practice. But there still are no laws to prevent this. This is talking about things getting into the food chain. It says it might surprise some dog owners to know that dog meat has been used in dog food. And this practice was relatively common until the late 1990s. But even today, there are no laws preventing man's best friend from ending up in dog food. It says cremation at shelters allows them to dispose of the pet's bodies. However, not all animal shelters can afford cremation. So many of them send the bodies to a special part of the city landfill, which is really horrific. Or another option would be to sell the bodies to research, which is horrific. Like, how is this even possible? Our little fuzzy friends? Or they could send them to dissection supply companies. Or last but not least, they could send your poor fuzzy little pet that you had for 18 years to a rendering facility where they may actually be rendered and put into pet food. Now, is that not the most horrible? Like, where the hell is our humanity? When I read that, I just could not even believe it. So, guys, if they're doing that to animals, you better believe that our food supply is not safe for humans. Not at all. You know, and so with all these slippery slopes, let's not put any labeling on it. Let's not tell you where it comes from. Let's not tell you what's in it. Hey, we can genetically modify it. Hey, we're not even going to genetically modify it. We're going to CRISPR it. When we CRISPR it, you don't need to know. There are no laws. We can flip any switches and it's going to be all the same, Johnny. Don't worry. We got mushrooms now, CRISPR'd. But now the ham. So I run across this story. This is where we started the show 21 minutes ago. Smithfield Foods, got purchased by a Chinese company, maybe it was last year. And I remember when that happened, I was like, I've already seen videos of pig farms in China. And when that swine flu outbreak happened, and they had to call millions of pigs. Pigman had videos. Don't even look them up. They're just beyond, like, one of those things that you can never unsee. I can never unsee that. But every time I think of pigs, I always think of that video clip I saw. It disturbs me horribly. And I thought to myself, you know, these Chinese, they really don't give two shits about the food supply. I mean, for God's sakes, we had them putting antifreeze in children's toothpaste. Remember that? You know, what the hell else was it in the baby formula? I don't trust Chinese anything, to be honest, but especially Chinese food. So Smithfield, bought by the Chinese, ends up in the news. We've talked. We did a story about 2 years ago. My daughter got a homework assignment about xenotransplantation. If you can even believe it, for like third graders. Xenotransplantation. Using pig organs and putting them into humans, and what they would debate and how they would debate that. And that was a debate question between the kids. And we read that on air here. They really were kind of pushing for the kids to get comfortable with some of this mixing and matching between animal and human. Of course, this story, the debate question was just about using like pig hearts and stuff in transplant patients. But they didn't mention the future of being able to genetically modify pigs to make their organs more acceptable and to be able to grow human organs within a pig for transplantation. Pig DNA and pig organs are pretty similar. So pigs have been used for a very long time. I had a listener and a former host here at ACY messaged me yesterday about their grandfather for years back, maybe I think he said in the 80s, had a pig valve heart. And they used to tease him about it all the time, but it worked well. And yes, that pig valve heart was just a pig valve heart back then. But the future is going to get much more twisted in Isle of Dr. Moreau-ish. Smithfield Farm makes a move on the market for pig human transplants. Now, this is out of Reuters, no less. So this is pretty much as mainstream as you can get. And I haven't seen any type of uproar about this. This is from about 2.5 weeks ago. I sent this to my mother. No comment after she made that Smithfield ham for Easter. But I wouldn't eat it. So I was like, oh, no, 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 no. I already knew there was stuff going on. I was like, those are owned by the Chinese. But wait till you guys hear this. So the way they spin this out, it's like all kind of happy, happy. And they're going to tell you it's all for your own good. And this is going to save humans because, you know, we have such a shortage of organs and whatever. And like I've said so many times before, with 3D printing, you know, they got little inkjet laser nozzles with stem cells, those pluripotent stem cells. They, and just plain sugar scaffolding, they've been able to make some really good runs at creating 3D printed organs. They've been doing it for all different kinds of body parts and things. And I really think that if there was a future, those iPS stem cells and 3D printing body parts to spec, no less, they can scan and do some sort of ultrasound or whatever. If there's some sort of high resolution ultrasounds, they can get an exact scan of your organs and then shape them appropriately. Make sure they got the input and output in the right place. So when they put it in there, they can just attach it real easily. But I really think that if there was a technology that not only seems very promising, but also wouldn't be killing animals and using them as, you know, birthing units to then be stabbed, killed, and gutted to be used for all their parts. Like, again, where is our humanity? And I know people don't really care about animals, but I do. You know, when I was a kid, I used to have a real hard time eating meat because I would think about the animals that had to die, and they all laughed at me. I never understood why they laughed at me, because the only meat that I would eat when I was a kid was a hamburger. And my mother would say, oh, tell your aunt, you know, what your favorite food is. And I'd be like, hamburger. And she'd say, why? Tell her why. I said, because there's no such animal as a hamburger. You know, because I didn't want to kill anything to eat it. But it's, you know, Here's the thing. Anyone who's ever been a pet owner, who's ever been close with an animal, knows that even though they've told us for 40 years that animals don't have feelings, well, you're wrong. Because they've found even cockroaches have personalities, if you can even believe that one. But it's true. Science shown it. Science has shown it. But all animals have personalities. Every single one of them. You just got to get to know them. And they all can communicate. And they all have feelings. And they all feel pain. That's why this is just so horrifying to me. These freaking Chinese. You know, this bothers me. That they have these clone, I mean, the Chinese clone factory, guys. Don't forget about that one. The one that they can pump out a million cows. And they can say that it's even tooled for humans if they want. You know, and now they got these pigs. They own Smithfield. And they have made some pretty damn scary partnerships as part of this. I know the suspense is killing you, so... Without further ado, Smithfield Foods, the world's largest pork producer, has established a separate bioscience unit to expand its role in supplying pig parts for medical uses with the ultimate goal of selling pig organs for transplantation into humans. Routine pig human organ transplants are years away, but recent scientific advances are breaking down barriers that frustrated prior attempts to use pigs as a ready supply for replacement parts for sick or injured people, making it an attractive new market. I mean, ready supply for replacement parts for sick or injured people. It's all it boils down to. You know what? Your pets, animals, they don't mean anything in this world. That's what makes me so sad. That's why humans don't deserve to be gods, people. That's why this whole transhumanist movement and wanting to live forever, these rich tech billionaires trying to come up with the cure to death. I don't think we deserve it. I really don't. We are not a kind, benevolent, organism. We don't live in harmony with other species. We do horrific experiments on other living organisms, and our entire globe now is a big, scary experiment, and we are part of the petri dish. You know, if we take a look at the way they treat these, you know, rendering dogs and putting them into dog food, rendering cows and putting nerve tissue into cow food. Oh, that, wait a minute. That's how we ended up with mad cow. Now we're talking about using pigs as walking organ suitcases as a ready supply for replacement parts for people. No thought to the fact that that's actually a living creature. How do you think they view us? You know, I joke about universal basic income and there is no free lunch and we're just going to become the guinea pigs for them to test out all their 21st century cures to perfect it before the rich tech billionaires get their permanent treatments. You know what, guys? That's the same. They don't care about us. We are just research projects. We are, how do they put it? Ready supplies for testing. For their new mad science gone mad. Says, quote, our bread and butter, no pun intended, has always been bacon, sausage, fresh pork. Very much a food-focused operation, says Courtney Stanton, vice president of Smithfield's new bioscience unit. But we want to signal to the medical device and science communities, because, of course, this 21st Century Cures Act, there's bazillions to be made, that this is an area we are focusing on, that we are not strictly meat packers. Smithfield, the $14 billion subsidiary of China's WH Group, in its first move, has joined a public-private tissue engineering consortium funded buy an $80 million grant from who? Oh, think about this one long and hard, because I didn't see this one coming. From the U.S. Department of Defense. Yes. There's an $80 million grant for a tissue engineering consortium that Smithfield Foods has joined. And guess who else is in there? Oh, well, Smithfield happens to be the only pork producer, but there are other healthcare companies in there, including Abbott Labs, Medtronics, and we've run across them a few times, and United Therapeutics Corporation. And wait until you hear who's involved with these guys. Transplants are used for people diagnosed with organ failure and who have no other treatment options, but transplants from animals could help close that critical gap to help those in need. United Network for Organ Sharing estimates that on an average, 22 people die each day while waiting for a new transplant. And like I said, why couldn't we print organs on demand with a 3D printer and stem cells, guys? I know there's probably going to be some lead time to grow those stem cells, but hey, you need a transplant. Scrippity scrap off my hands, put them in a petri dish, turn them up on high, mix them up good, and start growing me some liver cells or whatever. Then get the little scaffold, get out that little 3D printer, bzz, 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 and let it grow. And I just don't see why we would be growing them in pigs. And wouldn't it take way longer for a pig to grow than it would? I mean, I guess they'd have ready pigs ready to go. But those cells wouldn't be your own. Those would be pig splash human cells in there. I don't know. This doesn't, just to me, this does not seem like a good idea. And wait, because it gets even worse. So Smithfield already harvests materials for medical use from the 16 million hogs it slaughters every year. So we kill the hogs. We use the meat for bacon, sausage, and ham, pork chops. Then we take all their other pieces and we send them to the biomedical unit that uses them for who knows what. The company owns more than 51% of its farms and hopes to sell directly to researchers and healthcare companies, which now typically buys from third parties. So we're going to cut out the middleman. We're going to go direct to the pharmaceutical company. And now that we're a part of this $80 million tissue engineering consortium funded by the Department of Defense. We got carte blanche there, Johnny. So our $14 billion in revenue is going to skyrocket. 21st century medicine. I mean, it is, guys. You see what's happening. So they already sell all the pieces and parts of the pigs that don't go into the food supply to the medical community. But wait, it gets even better. Stanton says that the U.S. market for pork byproducts used for medical, pet food, and non-food purposes stands at more than a $100 billion market. So that's way more than meat at only $14 billion. $100 billion market! And that excludes any potential for animal-to-human transplants, known as xenotransplants. Smithfield has deals in the work to supply pig organs to two entities, though they would not disclose the names. It is just a huge potential space, and to be at the leading edge and focused on building those relationships is critical, says Stanton. Pigs have long been a tantalizing source for transplants because their organs are so similar to humans. A hog heart, at the time of slaughter, for example, is about the size of an adult human heart. Other organs from pigs being researched for transplantation into humans include the kidney, the liver, and the lungs. Prior efforts at pig-to-human transplants have failed because of genetic differences that caused organ rejections or viruses that posed an infection risk to humans. Swiss drug maker Novartis folded its $1 billion xenotransplantation effort in 2001 because of safety concerns about pig viruses that could be passed to humans. Well, don't worry about it, because guess who steps up? Good old Georgie Porgy Church. Oh, yeah, we knew Georgie Church had to be in here somewhere, and I almost fell off my chair. They waited until halfway through the story to even mention Georgie Porgy Church. Well, Georgie Porgy Church is involved. George Church, a Harvard Medical School genetics professor and researcher, yeah, the guy who's creating the synthetic human genome, by the way, has tackled that problem 2 whole years ago using a brand new gene editing technique tool known as CRISPR to trim away potentially harmful virus genes that have impeded the use of pig organs for transplants in humans. So wait, yes. So this was 2 years ago when we originally read this story where they were CRISPRing pigs. I guess they were CRISPRing pigs to get rid of pig viruses, according to this, to make them ripe for human transplantation. Well, thank God Georgie Porgy Church is on the case. I feel so much safer now. So, George Church has since formed a company. Oh, we should look into them. This would be some good homework for you guys. The company is named eGenesis Bio. Again, another wonderful name for one of these mad science companies. eGenesis Bio. To develop humanized pigs. Ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding. Like sitting up, reading, walking, talking, humanized pigs, oh yes, that do not provoke a rejection response or transfer viruses to people. The company just last month raised $38 million in venture funding, and I'd be very interested to see where some of that venture funding came from. I don't have it up right now, but maybe that would be a good project for us to do over the next day or two. Find out who gave the venture capital funding to eGenesis Bio. I wonder if DARPA's involved there somewhere. I bet they are. And what they're doing with that money. Eventually, Church says that this process could enable researchers to harvest a dozen different organs and tissues from one single pig. Now, well, we'll read a little bit more, and then I'm going to throw a few postulations out at you that I was thinking about after I read this story yesterday, and it's beyond horrifying. So eventually, Church says, this whole process could enable researchers to harvest dozens of different organs and tissues from a single pig. And Church estimates that the first transplants involving humanized pig organs, i.e. that would be creating pigs CRISPRed with human genes, could occur in a clinical trial later this year. So Church estimates the first transplant involving humanized pig organs could occur in a clinical trial later this year. Step right up. But these, of course, would only be used on people too sick to receive human organs. Yeah, how desperate are you, Johnny? We got an experiment for you. All right, so it gets even better, because guess who else has evolved? Oh, genomics pioneer Craig J. Venter, Synthetics Genomics, Inc., has been working for 2 years with United Therapeutics on editing the pig genome and mixing in human cells to overcome complex issues involved in immune rejection. It's not like changing a couple of genes and you got it solved, says Venter. It's a lot more complicated than that. Stanton, and this is for Smithfield's Stanton spokesperson, would not rule out breeding genetically modified animals, but said Smithfield's first ventures, and we talked about this way back as well, this is another way to use animal organs, would likely involve whole pig organs that go through this decellularization process. in which they remove or wash away all of the existing cells so they can keep the scaffold and then replace them with human cells. Miro Matrix Medical of Erie, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, for example, is using whole pig livers to make surgical mesh to use in hernia repair and breast reconstruction, and it is working toward developing replacement livers, hearts, and kidneys for humans. George Church welcomes with open arms the involvement of a big pork producer like Smithfield, the world's largest, owned by the Chinese. Even though we got companies like Egenesis, he says, that would first make the pigs, you will still need someone who will breed them and do it to scale. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. All right, guys. So listen, George and Portia Church is rubbing his hands together. They got Smithfield Foods now on this consortium that is a big chunk of change from the DOD. And they got Craig Venter involved as well. And a whole bunch of big pharma and that Medtronics. We've run across them a few times with some of these zippity zap products, I'm pretty sure. And some of the DARPA funding. So these guys are all kind of chummy butt patting. But what disturbs me so much about this is that Smithfield already, right now, they have just normal pigs. They're growing them. They're slaughtering them. And after they take the meat off, they send all the body parts to be rendered for medical uses. Well, George Church's hope is to get Smithfield to farm and grow these genetically modified pigs, the ones that have been mixed with human DNA that both Church and Venter have been tinkering with, one for getting rid of viruses and one to help fix immune rejection. So these are going to be human pig hybrids. They're going to have humanized type organs. And they're going to have these pigs. Now, you can't tell me that they're going to just keep those pigs. And I don't know, color me silly, but just think about it from a profit standpoint. Think about it from the Chinese, who like to make bazillions of dollars. They want to be profitable. So you're going to have these pigs, these genetically modified pigs with human DNA, and you're going to just grow these pigs to slaughter them, waste all the meat, and just harvest organs? Because I'm going to say probably not. And CRISPRed mushrooms, apples, potatoes don't need to be labeled per the FDA because it's not really, quote-unquote, genetically modified. Cloned food, we discovered, 2008, like I started talking about at the beginning of the show, per the FDA, does not need to be labeled. Country of origin, because of the World Trade Organization, forcing us to remove the cool labeling, does not need to be labeled. So fast forward a little bit into the future here until Smithfield is ready to start growing these human pig hybrids. Will that meat be required to be labeled? Well, if we look at the current trajectory, I would probably guess no. But hey, like I said, color me silly. I don't know about you guys. Him personally, physically, for the last few years, ham has been bothering me. When I eat it, it makes me not feel well. I get really sick for a few days. And the weirdest thing is, you know, both my daughter and my husband, they didn't have any issue with it. Well, guess what? They do now. None of us can eat it. It makes us not feel well. And I mentioned it to my friend the one day, and he says, hey, you know what? That's really weird because I can't eat ham anymore either. It makes me not feel well. So it's already got to make you wonder if there's something going on with ham in general, whether they're injecting it with something or they're mixing something up in a petri dish. Who the hell knows? I don't know. They don't have to tell you anyway. I just know that there have been a few times in my life that all of a sudden something I've been able to eat for 30 years starts making me sick, and I find out later, oh, there were genetically modified organisms of the same type of food that were released into the food system without them having to tell us right around the same time. Like with those tomatoes. So, sorry guys, allergies are killing me. My eyes are just so sticky in my lungs. We are in full bloom. This last week, like every tree opened up. It's what's going on right now. It's going to rain here soon, though, so it should get a little better. All right, so talking about Georgie Porgy Church, I don't know, I derailed the whole show I had lined up here. We'll do the show I had lined up tomorrow as a continuation, but that pig thing, I just couldn't even stop thinking about it last night because it was just so horrifying. So let's add insult to injury, good old Georgie Porgy Church. Georgie Porgy Church, who wanted to create the first synthetic human genome from scratch. Remember, he had that secret meeting with scientists at Harvard. Oh, sometime last year, 150 scientists. They didn't have to tell anybody. And then it kind of got out and they had to kind of share. What just happened? Breathe deeply, Joel. I don't know. You know, here we go. It's just everything now is in slow motion. Look at how this happens. It's so amazing. I just love it. I must have said a few keywords, so the whole computer is locking up. Okay, so tensions flare as scientists go public with plans to build synthetic human DNA. It all starts here. Now, if I could scroll, I might be able to read the story. Everything is frozen. Doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. They are saying within 5 years. That's what it says up in the URL. Come on. All right. Do we have to, like, resort to computer number two or computer number three? Oh, look. And it just closed it. All right. You know what? Screw this. We're going to go to another machine. I don't take no for an answer. I don't take no for an answer. Oh, look, it's non-secure, and it closed my page without any interaction from me. The whole machine is freezing. Do, 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 do. Oh, look, we're on another browser now. Oh. All right, I'm going to log in. Da, 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 da. This is really, really frustrating. Okay. Da, 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 da. I'm almost back in. Da, 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 da. You guys haven't heard me singing in a while anyway. And hey, singing with allergies is a talent. All right, here we go. Tensions flare. This is on another computer. As scientists go public with plans to build synthetic human DNA, one of the greatest ethical debates in science, manipulating the fundamental building blocks of life, is set to heat up one more time. And I don't know, what is a bigger debate? Whether or not to create a synthetic human genome or to take human DNA and mix it with pigs and then let it grow to full term. I would have to say that those two ethical debates should be duking it out in an amphitheater. And maybe they should just take each other out. Because I'd be happy without either of these in my not-too-distant future. According to scientists, behind an ambitious and controversial plan to write the human genome from the ground up, and remember, Georgie Church is involved in this, synthesizing DNA and incorporating it into mammalian and even human cells could be as little as 4 to 5 years away. Nearly 200 researchers in genetics and bioengineering are expected to attend a meeting in New York City next week. And that would be next week. This story came out yesterday. So keep an eye on it because there will be news to discuss the next stages of what is now called, and we've talked about this, the Genome Project Wright, or the GP Wright Project, which is a $100 million venture to research, engineer, and test living systems of model organisms, including the human genome. Framed as a follow-up to the pioneering Human Genome Project, HGP for short, which culminated in 2003 after 13 years of research that mapped the Human Genetic Code, this project is billed as the next logical step where scientists will learn how to cost-effectively synthesize plant, animal, and eventually human DNA. HGP allowed us to read the genome, but we still don't completely understand it. So while those involved are eager to portray the project as an open international collaboration, yeah, let's democratize this technology as well. Jesus. I mean, are they serious here? We are destroying. We are the engineers of our own destruction. I will say that again. And we're doing it quite well. We get an A in destruction. While those involved are eager to portray the project as an open international collaboration to further our understanding of genome science. GP Wright, and this is this new project, we're not just reading it anymore, now we're going to write it, provoked considerable controversy after its first large meetup a year ago, and that was the one I talked about at Harvard, conducted virtually in secret until it got out, with a select group of invite-only experts holding talks behind closed doors. And if I am not mistaken, it was held at Harvard and it was organized by Georgie Porgy Church. Given that the human genome synthesis is a technology that can completely redefine the core of what now joins all of humanity together as a species, right? We argue that discussions of making such capacities real should not take place without open and advanced consideration of whether it is morally right to proceed, says medical ethicist Lori Zoloth of Northwestern University. Since then, researchers behind the initiative have been more candid, announcing details of the project in a paper in Science, as well as releasing a white paper outlining GP Wright's timeline and goals. One of the lead scientists, geneticist and biochemist Jeff Boak, from NYU's Langone Medical Center, says that the approach has always been to consult the scientific community at large to help frame and steer the research as it develops. But I think articulation of our plan not to start right off synthesizing a full human genome tomorrow was helpful. Well, yeah, good thing. We have a 4 to 5 year period where there's plenty of time for debate about whether or not resources should be put into that direction. Whenever it's human, everyone has an opinion and wants their voice to be heard. And I want to hear what people have to say. And yeah, bullshit, they're going to let you speak your voice about what you think about creating artificial human genomes. In March, Boak shared details on a related project that he's involved with, where he oversees hundreds of scientists who are working together to synthesize an artificial yeast genome. And we read about that one the other day, which is expected to be completed by the end of 2017. There, of course, might be a large gap between successful synthesis of yeast DNA and creating artificial human DNA from scratch, but the overall goal is to figure out how to synthesize simple genetic codes before moving on to the ultimate prize. So in addition to synthesizing a plant, animal, and human DNA, the primary goal of the project is to lower the total cost of engineering genomes. And, you know, they want to turn it into a little factory where they can pump out this stuff. The DOD is already invested in that technology, or they can just build little cell factories and whip out things on the fly on an assembly line. Guys, I mean, there is no value to life anymore. And what really frightens me is that as we're watching the robots and AI and technology start replacing humans and all these different tasks, you know, we're not going to have any jobs left. We're not going to be the innovators anymore. It's going to be the machine. And now, look, now we're going to create a synthetic human genome so we don't even have to worry about having meat bags. That's what we are. We're the meat bags. The meat bags are going to be perfected. won't even have to worry about defective humans. We can make a perfect one. And then add the final nail to the coffin. Good old Elon Musk. We love Elon. But Elon's really beginning to frighten me. His new company, Neuralink. If you can't beat him, join him. We're going to make a brain interface so we can be friends with the AI and not be enslaved. Experts have revealed the potential dangers of Elon Musk's Neuralink brain interface and the next step in human evolution. I mean, that's what this is all about, people. They are moving us forward whether we want to or not. And I would rather be a cavewoman. Neuralink, which is developing high, ultra-high bandwidth brain-machine interfaces to connect humans to computers, quote-unquote, is probably a bad idea. And if you understand the science behind it, and that's what you wanted to hear, you can stop reading. But this is an absurdly simple narrative to spin about Neuralink in an unhelpful attitude when it comes to understanding the role of technology in the world around us and what we might do about it. It is easy to be cynical about everything Silicon Valley does, but sometimes it comes up with something so compelling, fascinating, and confounding, it cannot be dismissed or embraced uncritically. So what exactly is Neuralink? Well, don't worry about it, Johnny. It is a company purchased by Elon Musk. And it's the company's product that really matters. They're developing a whole brain interface, essentially a network of tiny electrodes to link your brain to the machine. And it envisions it will allow us to communicate wirelessly in the future with the world. It'll enable us to share our thoughts, fears, hopes, anxieties without demeaning ourselves with written or spoken language. And maybe we'll even be able to upload ourselves in the future, something that DARPA apparently has been working on, as well as Kurzweil. One consequence, of course, would be that we'll be connected at a biological level to the internet, and Kurzweil must be smiling and rubbing his hands together. All right, guys, well, it is Thursday. Make sure you stick around. Lots and lots and lots of live radio, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Thank you.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to UCY.TV.